listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, January 12th. My name is Michael Kelly and I am here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here as always.
Glad to have you, and thank you to everyone joining us live in the chat. Always appreciate you taking the time out of your evenings to kind of add some dynamic feedback to this program, and just it's a pleasure to see you every week. And thanks to those joining us on the archive. We appreciate you spending some time to catch up. And we hope that you take something meaningful away from this. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, before we get into tonight's topic, it's going to be an interesting one, we're going to start with the 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now, tonight's topic is alien life, and, you know, not really just talking about alien life, but also really its impact on humanity. And I think we're going to investigate a lot of facets of that. And I'm really looking forward to this, Dr. Hunter.
Well, so am I, Michael. And, you know, really the impact of humanity, what would be the first thing? This is my visual. What would be the first thing that would happen should alien life decide to make its presence known where nobody could hide it? Religion would be upside down.
You know, that's a fascinating thing, and it's interesting how there are certain religions that would be able to incorporate it relatively easily. I think Buddhism for one, pretty easy. Maybe the same with Hinduism, I don't know. They kind of have a sci-fi thing going already with the ancient Vedas. I think Mormons already have this idea of living on other planets, so I don't think they'd be too much bothered. But the big Abrahamic religions, the more mainstream dogmas, it would be huge, but I think that society and fiction and culture, excuse me one moment, I think that these things have kind of prepared everyone, even the religious, for the concept of, you know, alien life, but then you have all these implications. So, really top on my list of this is how would it impact our modern culture with, you know, religion and other things, not just religion. What about, you know, the idea of tribalism? You know, we are often, you know, nerd friendly enough to cite Star Trek. And of course, to those who don't know, the premise being that when humanity finds out that we're not alone in the universe, that's a huge part of our becoming unified and our becoming, you know, much more harmonious with one another and socially evolved. Because places us in context. So, Dr. Hunter, do you think that might be close to the reality, religion, or no? Or do you think it might be more akin to us reacting like Independence Day?
Well, I think that there's another reason we have the space wars thing going on. You know, let's build the space force, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's, in my opinion, more... There's more to it than just the idea of who's getting to space first and who's going to colonize Mars. You know, I think that it's not about countries on Earth saying who's getting space. I think they really do, you know, that there is some evidence or people believe that there's life in other realms. And I think that the first tendency of most governments and people is to be fearful and want to start a war. That's my thought. I would hope that's not the case, but...
I think you're definitely right on, at least some statistically, there are going to be those that are going to react that way because it's natural human behavior, and we have to realize that, you know, we're very advanced, we're sentient, but we are animals, and we have instinct. And that instinct has allowed us to evolve and thrive and survive, most importantly, in a very harsh world. But that being said, I would think that, you know, depending on the technological ability, depending on some things that are out there and what you're willing to, you know, perhaps put a touch of faith in, because we don't know for certain. We have snippets of video, but it could lack context. Who knows? It could be said that certain governments have already taken pot shots at things that may or may not be visiting. Well, if they're taking pot shots, they definitely may be visiting. But I think that to have like an all-out war might be something that
it would be stupid.
It would be frightful because look at these people. We are, you know, terrified of losing in a, you know, awfully one-sided battle here.
Well, you know, I pulled up some statistics, Michael, and every one of them, like any polls done, especially within the USA and Canada, more than half, upwards of 65% of people believe there are UFOs. Now, of course, what does that mean, UFO? That would mean, obviously, extraterrestrial, interdimensional life on other universes or whatever.
Or time-traveling humans. You don't know what time machines look like.
Sure. Exactly. So, for argument's sake, let's just say 50% of the people believe in aliens. Good percentage of those would be fearful. And a lot of that, of course, is movies. Oh, my God, we're under attack. Others would say, oh, I want to meet them. You know, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a small percentage.
Well,
the 50% of the population is going, like, to lose their minds. Because they have to, and this is the thing that interests me the most, is people who adamantly believe we're the only species in many universes.
Well,
certainly the intelligent one.
Yeah. Well, even
they have to reroute their thinking.
And
when you short circuit like that, that can cause a lot of instability.
Oh God, yeah. And I was just going to add that I think very often the type of person that would react that way would also be the type of person that would become, you know, more xenophobic, you know, more like, you know, human first, and, you know, we got to protect our planet against intruders, even if they're coming and it's a ruse. And, again, there's just that aspect. I think that there is a lot, I think it's a sizable minority of humans that would react this way, and I think it's shown in our fiction, which is part of our culture, which shows our kind of social evolution. You do have movies like Independence Day, but to be fair, in Independence Day, you know, they started blowing stuff up first, so you can't blame them. But then you also have movies like Contact. You have movies like Arrival. You have movies like Star Trek. You have a lot of fiction where aliens are not necessarily threatening. And I think that fiction has prepared human societies to conceptualize alien intelligent life that visits us that may not be a threat. And let's hope it's not, because if they have the ability to visit us, they certainly have the ability to evade our weapons and perhaps do a lot more. One would hope that the adage, if you have the technological ability to travel between the stars, you likely have the social evolution to allow for that society to exist. I think that that would be true for perhaps a lot of them, but I also think that in a universe of infinite possibility and infinite combinations, you're going to have some kind of Borg-type species as well that, you know, just is more hive mind and, you know, may not relish, you know, individual freedoms and things like that. But,
well, you know, I think movies or series like Star Wars, and certainly most recent on Amazon or Disney Plus, where Boba Fett, all the different types of aliens, you know, and reflecting all these different species, what they look like. And I think there's a part of the human mind, though, that says, oh, that's ridiculous, you know, and it's just made up movie stuff.
Well,
other some of us would say, you know, that's likely.
Yeah, true. But you have to understand, we're not going to see those aliens, because Star Wars takes place a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So we're going to see different kinds of aliens than ours. But one would hope the Force would still apply.
Yeah, well, you know, you'd hope. I think that there's so many different belief systems. Now, I'm of the mind, you know this, Michael, and anybody who's listening, I am of the absolute mind that, yes, of course, and there's many species of aliens that are either on Earth, have been to Earth, and continue to come to Earth, you know.
Yeah.
Some reside here, whether it's underwater,
hollow
above
Earth,
water, and mountains, you know, whatever. In other dimensions of space-time, they're here.
Well, one would think... One would think a very likely way of traveling between such vast distances, because you don't have to simply cross space, you have to cross space-time, because, you know, the planets are constantly moving, your time is all relative, so, you know, where you start, you know, it's going to be a vastly different time than when you arrive. How do you allocate this? One would think that effective space travel might be, you know, interdimensional travel, you know, perhaps slipping through a wormhole of sorts, a jump between two different points in space without having to, you know, wait. You know, what you start here, you travel to this other planet, and it turns out, it's 1,000 years in the future because of how relativity works. All right. So, and that's an awful example. I don't know math or, you know, astrophysics, so don't count on me
for
that.
Well, even teleporting, we now have human science that teleporting is possible. And even at a microscopic level, and for whatever technology that we have. So imagine an advanced technology, you know, making that happen. So to me, any of these things are possibilities. And in my experience with ETs, I'm good with saying, you know, I'm cool with it. But a lot of people are not. You know, they undermine it. And here's what I think is really important to note, Michael. Whatever we hear now is convoluted and can be so easily photoshopped, embellished, you know, and so on. The testimonials that I look at are long before the internet. You know, when photography was photography and you couldn't mess up a photo.
Yeah. Well, now you can have anybody say anything if you have a picture of them on the internet and a snip of their voice. It's, you know, in the world of deepfakes and the technological ability to make it anything look like anything, you know, it does make it more of a challenge. But there are people that are experts in this field of digital photography that can point.
Yeah.
They're able to detect if it's modified or if it's a fictional image based on a lot of criteria. But, you know,
we have a lot of chat going on in the chat. Allison has just said she read an article and NASA has hired pastors and priests to prepare for the population for destruction.
Yeah, I saw that too. And I was actually going to comment on that tonight. I was been thinking about that. It made the news and everybody, you know, on social media and things are like, all right, we're going to get some big reveals coming up. They're just getting ready.
And apparently this, it's supposed to be this year. We never know. Governments releasing more disclosure info, which I think is a great thing. Mm-hmm. I have to say, though, I become more cynical of any stories that, you know, what propaganda does it serve? Which direction are we going? Is that really accurate now? Because, again, so many things can be manufactured. Yeah. So it's being very careful, everybody. It's not to buy into one idea. And look, I want to preface and qualify that I'm a believer.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily go with the angle that a lot of people go with, and mostly because it's fear-based. And my point is, if we were in trouble with aliens, it would have happened a long time ago. Hmm. So when it, you know, and they've had plenty of opportunity, and maybe it's happened in the past, we don't know, but there's been plenty of opportunity to mess with humans that, you know, so the idea of us having to protect ourselves, you know, for whatever is just kind of ridiculous to me.
Well,
and would we have that kind of technology anyway?
I think the question to ask is, could we? I think that, again, infinite diversity, obviously there are species out there that may come into contact with that would be hostile, you know, and unreasonably so. I think that, yeah, it could be right that some of these, you know, ancient epic god battles could be advanced life forms, you know,
sure,
having a good old war around Earth or something like that. But this is all pure speculation. But I do, you know, I do agree with you on your overall point. I have to say, though, sometimes I put myself in the shoes of, let's imagine that things come out after World War II. And one of my favorite examples of this kind of alien life and how it impacts humanity were all of the Foo Fighter sightings, which are these orbs of light that were accompanying bombers in World War II, especially in the Pacific Theater, and especially around the nuclear bomb drops.
Yep.
And it is just very interesting, widespread. You know, so widespread that they had a common nickname in the Army Air Corps. And then, you know, you have the era of, you know, Roswell and different things like that happening. Mm. I have to say, though, sometimes I put myself in the shoes of people that are in charge, and you're looking at the situation, you look at the society that you have, not necessarily the one that you want, but you look at things as they are, and you wonder, you know, are we able to deal with this right now, or do we need to perhaps prepare? And sometimes I don't wonder if I wouldn't have come to that conclusion that we can't just blurt the truth out, that we need to, you know, parcel it out and prepare, you know, societies for something like a shock like that.
I think it all depends on which agenda you're looking at. Humans have their own agenda. And, you know, there is rumor, quote unquote rumors, that some governments have already made a deal with ETs, and that's where, you know, we're reverse technology of alien craft, having met different alien species. There's all those rumors too. So,
well,
you know, we're speculating. What I think has become really evident is that there's more chatter about it.
Yeah, definitely.
And
that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess thanks Xenu for the iPhone then. I guess I was, you know, thinking, you know, Steve Jobs for putting the team together and Johnny Ives for designing the thing, but I guess it's the aliens that gave us the wondrous technology. But
maybe.
May the baby Jesus bless them.
Well, I'm just saying that there's a lot of things we have to look to. And my concern is for a lot of people who, again, are very dogmatic in their beliefs, would, you know, go into panic, short circuit.
Absolutely.
Everything from mass suicide to nervous breakdowns to war.
That
would be a concern. And I think that since Roswell, there's been that slow, you got to think of it as slow, I think, Michael, that, you know, since the 1940s, really, 1930s, 1940s, and Roswell and thereafter, and again, with the help of television, movies, et cetera, just little tiny snippets of disclosures, more people are talking about. So it's a very slow emergence of let's let the population in on this because we have no choice now.
Mm-hmm. You know. And our technology is growing. We have, civilians going into space. We have advanced telescopes that are readily available to people, advanced by historic concepts. Obviously there are space telescopes and massive telescopes, which are much more powerful, but the average person can get a very powerful telescope and they can see, and we have detection. We have cameras. Everybody has a camera. So absolutely it's going to become more difficult to hide things. And I wonder, okay, so we've been talking about how alien life affects humanity. We talked about how the religions would react. I'm wondering, I think we all here are on the same page. We take it as a given that there is intelligent life in the universe, and there's probably a lot of it. So we've talked about this in the past, but one of the questions I had on my mind that I was going to ask you about, Dr. Hunter, is what do you think that means for an afterlife? What does that mean for the next phase or the next realm? Reincarnation. Are we tied to the energy of this planet, of this Earth? Do we reincarnate into different parts of the galaxy? Could you spend a few lives on each one? How does that, how does that work? And, well, I know it's all kind of conjecture, but nonetheless.
I have a theory. I joke about this. It's all going into my report for when I go back to the home planet. But I'm
knew it.
I'm serious about that. I've been on the planet here now in this life for nearly 67 years, and most of my life has been consumed with metaphysics because of childhood experiences. But it doesn't come in one big whack. It comes in bits and pieces of memory, of thinking, of study, of, because I like to be a little bit pragmatic. I don't just want to have these experiences. I want to understand it. I want to get to how do we do that. And throughout that process is little snips of feelings and pictures in my head that we come in clusters. This is my theory, and I'll stick with it until somebody can give me something better, Michael, is we come in clusters to Earth from a different realm, beaming into this Earth sphere for a duration of many lifetimes. And I say that because I have zero comprehension or memory of anything from around the time of Christ to 950 AD. I have plenty of past life memory or time period memory or connections to anything from 950 to now. I can go back prior to Christ. I can go back to Egypt, and I can go back to... So it's like taking these cycles, like kind of in agreement to come in to this space-time realm, and soul would kind of regenerate in its purposefulness, in its contributions to creating, and that cluster then, and this again a theory, that cluster then when it's completed, kind of what it feels it's done, it leaves together. And then another cluster comes. That makes it. That's just a thought. And I think that we are aliens. We are all connected to the universe. We're all stardust.
Absolutely.
That's a fact. But I think another theory that I've sat with most of my life is that every type of organic or otherwise life on Earth is a reflection of something in the universe. So Star Wars may not be off. Are there lizard people? Yeah, I'm not so sure they're in politics, trust me. I'm just saying.
Well, it depends on the politician.
Yeah, I know. But we see some really cool life forms, but can they be like a fraction of something that's in another dimension or, some kind of hybridized life form here? And I don't know. I'm comfortable with not knowing, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I'm also always in my wonderment of what that might mean. So if my theory is tossed out the window tomorrow, I'm cool with that. But that's what makes me comfortable to think that we are aliens. They are us in a future. We're them in a past. You know, a past. Kind of we're all connected in space-time continuums and energy forms.
I really like that idea, and I think there's a very nice tranquility to it. And one moment, excuse me. Sorry. But
no, it's all right, Michael. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, I've often thought about that too, and I had this theory once upon a time. I had a theory that a soul is something that's grown through awareness, grown through experiences, through, you know, emotion and feeling and, you know, social, personal evolution and growth. And if the soul is strong enough, that maybe then it can reincarnate, and, you know, that it might be tied to the life force and essence of this planet and things like that. So that's kind of how I'd, you know, foreseen a potential reincarnation once upon a time. But, you know, when you step back and you look at the totality of existence, you know, it's just, you know, we are all made out of star stuff, and it's just a fascinating concept when you, even just as a thought experiment, to push the boundaries of what you can consider as possible, because right now, anything is possible. And if you are searching and seeking for the truth, just like you said earlier, Dr. Hunter, then you have to be willing to say, okay, well, it's wrong, then all right, we have to acknowledge that and move on with new information and try to best acknowledge that truth.
Mm. I just want to keep learning and evolving. And again, perhaps the greatest relief to me was when I was in my 30s and I realized I don't have to know. You know, and I don't have to find that, because when I realized that, okay, because I was raised in a religious background too, in my want for learning what is God, mm-hmm. God is me, all that, and that force, that universal energy, I'm all part of that. And then that's when I really began to understand pantheism, you see. So,
yeah.
And when I started to explore pantheism and understanding energy, and again, all these other experiences, you know, all in layers of life, I realized I don't have to know. You see, and in this lifetime, and bless her heart, my late teacher said to me before she passed, I've learned all I can and I'm running out of time, but I've armed you with questions.
Mm-hmm.
And keep asking questions and keep carrying on where I couldn't finish.
Questions are powerful.
And absolutely. So, and for me now is, I just like to provoke the questions. And I really like people's theories. There's a lot of theories. People's, look, you, nowadays you can put 100 people in a room, Michael, and they're all going to have a different view of reality.
You know, and that's kind of a
coffee mug is going to look different to everybody.
True enough. And that's kind of a wonderful thing, because, and you need to take in so many different perspectives. And I, you know, I've always regretted that I have but one perspective to view things through, at least right now. And, you know, just to kind of catch up on a few things too, I'd wanted to reference a few things. We have some great chat going on. To something that you were alluding to earlier, or you spoke on, Dr. Hunter, I'm pretty sure, Allison had made the, comment of communicating with her guides randomly, asking if they're aliens, and they only tell her what is alien different than you, mm-hmm. then yes. And that's a interesting, fascinating, you know.
Yeah, who's the alien?
Right? And Irma was pointing out, we were talking about the relation between dogmatic religions today, people that believe in God, how they'd react, and, you know, often people that currently in this modern age believe in God and fervently are probably don't believe in aliens and vice versa. And I think that's largely true, but I think there's a lot of people that are being prepared for it too. But still, you know, probably a huge correlation between those two. I would also, I'm remembering also, I can't remember his name, but if I'm not mistaken, the physicist who basically came up with the Big Bang Theory as an idea was a Catholic physicist working for the church. And it kind of fits into that whole, if you look at the Bible as metaphor and allegory as opposed to anything literal, you know, there was darkness and then there was light, the Big Bang, things happen, things form, etc. It all has like an interesting, you know, kind of flow to it. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight, as we're kind of bringing this discussion to a close, because we're going to be pulling cards here pretty soon, but, you know, how would it affect us now? And if it happens to us now, if we meet intelligent life, what is humanity going to look like 100 years from now or 200 years from now? You know, how are we going to evolve after that, after realizing that we're not alone?
You mean that's not the Terminator?
Well, in that case, there were no aliens. It was an AI that went rogue. Maybe the aliens will help us fight the AI.
Now, you see, there's a theory that the Greys are actually artificial intelligence, cloned AIs. And that's a theory, too. So what do we know?
Right? Yeah, right.
And I think that the more we partner, as we're evolving as a human species, the more we partner with all kinds of life forms, the more we'll grow in our consciousness and fulfill whatever it is that we're creating. And that's a continual evolution. I look forward to, you know, the time when, finally everybody gets it, you know, because my reality is they're here. So that's that. But you can't convince other people. So I look forward to that point where we can begin to openly partner and openly get beyond, again, my opinion, get beyond religion, get beyond, you know, these things that pull our minds apart and diminish our thinking, and where we can do some critical thinking and advance our civilization. And I think we've done it many times on Earth before, to be honest. So,
well, I would not mind if they would introduce the replicator, because that would just be, you know, fun. I have a 3D printer. I don't know why I have a 3D printer. I just knew that in my soul I needed it. Some part of the metaphysical universe was telling me I needed a 3D printer on Cyber Monday. So it happened. And it's the closest thing I have to a replicator, and I halfway think I got it because of Star Trek. But nonetheless, I do hope, and I am colored by my own cultural influences, I do hope that after that initial blowback or pushback phase, that whiplash between people reacting to something and being fearful, I kind of hope that it would unite us, realizing that we're not alone, that we have so much more in common with one another, and that we very likely have a lot in common with other intelligent life out in the universe, at least I hope. And I hope that we can continue to evolve socially, technologically, and that we can strive to always become better, to strive to our better selves and to become our full potential. Any last thoughts, Dr. Hunter?
No, I think what we're going to do, if everybody's interested, we're going to segue into next week and talk about how, you know, this ancient civilizations are indicators to us and could be indicators of, you know, aliens having been here before, and, you know, how we've treated it as a mythology. So you had a good catchphrase for it before the program, Michael.
Yeah, well, I was talking more broadly about ancient mythologies and how it affects modern metaphysics and our concept of it. And I think a lot of that can be, you know, I was joking, we're going to get the crazy hair guy from Ancient Aliens on, but, you know, I think there is something to be said for the concept that it is entirely plausible that we've had almost quasi-documented contact in the past. But, you know, history is full of mystery, so take it with a grain of salt. And I think that I even had a note here, to, you know, what does alien life mean for the future of humanity? What does alien life mean for the, you know, our ancient past? And I think that something I'm really looking forward to talking with you, Dr. Hunter, about, especially with that that ancient sense that you spoke of, you know, even going back to the time of the pharaohs, the Egyptians, a civilization that changed a lot but existed under the pharaohs from one form or another for thousands of years.
I agree. So, I look forward to that conversation, too, Michael.
It's going to be a good one.
But, you know, hey, we got, like, a load of people who've put their names in the chat, and I think we better get to it. So for those who are listening in the archives and are new to the program, Michael pulls an Inner Oracle Self-Discovery card designed by Dr. Michael Kelly, or Dr. Doug. Dr. Douglas Kelly. I had a you know, one of those things in my brain for a minute. And then I pull a supporting tarot card. So we're going to start off. Allison, way up in the chat, the beginning of the program, asked for a card. So let's get to it.
All right. Allison, I have number 26, or excuse me, 25. Number 25, the power of belief.
Mm.
All right, I hope this connects, and I hope this resonates. Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief and means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy, and proceed with conviction.
Now, Allison, the first card I pulled out was the moon. Now, I know, it can be vague, right? The mysteries of life, hidden information. The moon is feminine, it's intuitive, but it's often secretive. Very often when it comes up, I say, you haven't got all your information in yet. So I thought, okay, what is in support of that? So I did intentionally pull another card, and it was the lovers. Lovers is passion. It's not literal in that sense. It's about what do you love. So the power of belief. What do you love to do? Follow what you love and staying true to yourself. Of course, considering other people. But I also want to say not all the information is in. So I want to say slow down. I just want to say take your time. Take the time you need to think. Take the time to be intuitive and be really true to yourself and ask yourself, what do you believe in? You know, what do you believe in? That's what Michael said off the get-go. So my sense here is you're on your way. So stay true to that. We have
good message.
Irma up next. I hope that makes sense and helps Allison. So Irma is up next, Michael.
All right, Irma. I have wild card number 4, unknowable.
My fave. This
one actually comes up more often than you think it would.
I know.
There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable, unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
You know, Irma, with unknowable, there's often a restlessness that goes with that because you can feel something stirring and you're not really sure. I think you have some surprises coming up, and I think they're good ones. So when I have the Six of Diamonds, which is otherwise the Six of Pentacles in the tarot, I see that as, and again, with unknowable, is this coming and going of finance, but I also see something coming to you, and that could be a new position, a new job, something that's going to give you a little bit more stability in your life. So I think you're about to turn it. I want to say you're going to turn a corner. So the unknowable. Project for what you want. Be really clear about that. Stay true to it. Let it go. And it'll start to come. So your frequency is already in motion. There.
All
that's
right.
What I say.
Well, I like it.
I do too. Jamil is up next, Michael.
All right, Jamil. I saw he said he'd been told a couple times that he looks like an Egyptian pharaoh. Might have been one in a past life, so let's see. See how that plays into the cards tonight, Jamil. Ah, Let's be open-minded to that. You got number 38, open-mindedness. Ooh. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions.
I think you're being noted for solutions in some way, Jamil. I got the Ace of Wands, Ace of Clubs, in support of open-mindedness. It's like your creativity, your inventiveness, and I'm seeing here that others note that. So it's really about your achievements and being able to put into effect some solutions others hadn't thought of or weren't knowing of in that moment. So I want to say be you and be inventive and speak up when you need to. You know, again, it's appropriate. Sometimes people, if you're in a group of people, they need to talk themselves out and you say, I might have an idea. And of course, then you look like a bright, shiny star. So keep going. I like that, Jamil. That's awesome.
All right. I think we have Dr. Edward next. I have a list, but Dr. Hunter, please do keep me honest.
That's what I have.
Yeah. And I think I'm going to probably butcher this, but Dr. Edward was kind enough to put the name of the physicist who originated the Big Bang Theory. Georges. Oh, chat just scrolled. Somebody typed something and it jumped away. Georges Lemaître?
Yeah, something like that.
So I encourage everybody to Google it and to also determine how it's supposed to be pronounced so I don't do any more damage. Dr. Edward, let's see what we got for you tonight. Is it going to be one you've got before? I hope not. Number 34, take and release ownership. Let's see. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for what others for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what is yours and releasing the rest.
Well, in support of that, Edward, is the Ten of Hearts, and there might be a few little dynamic shifts in your immediate family or immediate extended family and friends, taking and releasing. Maybe there's some things, burdens that have been put on you or put on others, and it's just shifting, you know, that dynamic a little bit so that it's a little healthier, I'm seeing. But it's without pressure and without stress. It's just a few words, oh, okay, you know, for that enlightenment. And it makes things flow better. So I think there's a dynamic here that's really improving is what I want to say. I'm not saying anything's bad. I'm just saying that we're always growing. And this is something that's just improving there. So that's awesome.
Absolutely. I mean, every moment of life, you have to grow. You have to learn. And I think we might have said this a couple of weeks ago or sometime, that they found keeping your mind active and learning new things is imperative to retain, you know, cognitive sharpness. It's not just about doing the crossword or Sudoku. It's about trying to learn new things or enhance your skills.
Absolutely.
So, you know, having social connections and improving every day is essential to our health. So,
absolutely.
Love it.
Nice way to say that. Audra is next on my list.
All right, Audra. Apparently, she fessed up and said she was the one that made the chat skip. But all is forgiven, Audra. Of course, how could I hold a grudge? But Audra, let's see. Oh, Audra, I don't hate you because you got wild card number 5. Don't hate. Isn't that perfect? Lined up well. Let's see. Wild card number 5, don't hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear. Demonstrated is the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin. Whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right. to yourself and others?
Well, you've got a situation here, Audra, where rising above is going to make you shine like a bright star. And you've got the Seven of Spades here. When I put those energies together, this is the message. It goes better than you expect. A dynamic, a situation, again, I've used that word solutions recently, and I want to say that here. So when there's a difficulty, you're taking the high road, and, oh, lead by example, and then coming up with another way to be. So you are that living example, and others are learning from you. So, oh, man, to keep going, Audra. That's a tough one, I know, but you've got this. Yep.
All right.
Bright, shiny star.
All right. So, we have Ronnie up next.
Okay.
Oh, wild card kind of night. We have wild card number 7, Hope. Let's see. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope in and of itself does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
And in support of that, Ronnie, I have the Four of Clubs. The Four of Clubs to me, Four of Wands is, to me, it's the only commitment slash marriage card in the deck when I see that often. And again, my disclaimer with commitment is marriage doesn't have to be something on paper. Commitment doesn't have to be something in an intimate relationship. And it could be a business deal. It could be an agreement in any way. But it's commitment nonetheless. It likes stability, but it likes to be entertained and changes, you know, and it likes to be happy in that way. So hope and that Four of Clubs, it honestly gives me a lot of hope for you. If you're looking for something in a commitment, hoping a promise will be fulfilled, I'm saying yes. Just give it time. Have hope. That's what I want to say. So however that goes. So
well,
Jamil and Audra are both commenting in the chat. I called them bright, shiny stars. And Jamil says, hey, Audra, it looks like we're both bright, shiny stars. Listen, I didn't realize I said it twice, but it's in my, when it pops in my head like that, I go with it. Audra says she's shining like a bright diamond.
Yeah, I love it. So, nothing wrong with that. All right.
We have Kevin. If my list is right, we have Kevin next.
You are correct. And just want to... just, you know, wishing you the best, Kevin. I know you'd put in chat that you've been recovering. I think you were in the hospital. And I'm so glad that, you know, some messages that we were able to relay resonated last time. And hopefully, you know, the messages relayed to you tonight. But glad to see you. Sending you all the best wishes. Hope you're feeling better already and hope you recover soon. So I have number 13, positive consciousness.
Ooh, see? There you go.
It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary. Hope that resonates.
King of Clubs. King of Clubs. So listen up, Kevin. When you show up here as King of Clubs, I love that energy. You're bringing change upon yourself. You're bringing change to the world. And is sitting in a moment of achievement. So positive consciousness, you really have to keep going. It's going to take you through and actually better than you think. So, again, I don't want to minimize the difficulty of illness or... You know, you mentioned you were in the hospital, but I'm saying that what you what you gain from this is more than you expected. So that King of Clubs says, you're on this, you've got the strength, you have the determination, and that reinforcement of positive consciousness sees you through and more. So you're well on your way, and I feel you only need about another 3 weeks to really get back on your feet feeling good. So that's okay. I'm going out on a limb there, Michael. 3 weeks. I hope that makes sense to you, Kevin, and it helps a bit. Well, before Allison, you know, zips away, she said she's leaving the chat right now. Happy birthday to Allison for tomorrow. I wanted to throw that.
Ah, well, yeah, I'm going to piggyback that. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Allison.
Always happy to jump on those fun bandwagons. But.
I know. Okay, I think we have Dr. Jeff up next.
All right, we do. And Dr. Jeff, always a pleasure to see you and have you with us. And tonight I have number 7, self-mastery. Hmm. Let's see, number 7, self-mastery. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness.
I kid you not, Jeff. I went to pull in. I've got all these cards fanned out. Went to pull out a card, but three. I kid you not, three came out. Now, I'm going to tell a story by these three. So you've got self-mastery. You have the Tower, the Nine of Diamonds, and the Ace of Hearts. So there's been some reconstructing, rebuilding, order in the home, and fulfilling your heart. And that self-mastery just indicates that you're learning to balance those. A lot of things obviously have been new for you in this last year, who you've been through a lot. But I like the Tower. It means you have the foundation. It's just, you know, the appearance of something is just getting changed, you know, and that reorganizing. So I think, you know, that's awesome. The home obviously changing, and I just see a lot of love around you, you know, a lot of warm light. So you've got the strength, determination, and you do have the mastery, self-mastery, to achieve new things. So good on you. And it's a great story. Hope that helps.
All right. And we have, let's see, I believe Eileen next. And happy to have you joining us live. I know this is your first time joining us in the chat room, and happy to have you. Appreciate the comments, and let's see what we have. All right. I have number 27, gains. Let's see. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth of a situation or behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains.
Well, the support energy to that, Eileen, is the Five of Spades. Now, I see that as a victory, one of what I call the victory cards. Of course, look, every symbol has its positive and negative. What I do here is I look at what Michael's giving and feel the energy of whatever the tarot says. And in this case, it's very positive. You're coming out on top. I'm inclined to want to say, remember that in order to move on to things, you do sometimes have to give something up, and maybe that's a belief system. Doesn't mean you have to give up something, just something in your head, something that you have kind of held on to or it's hindering you from moving forward. So gains in support of the Five of Spades is, I want to say you're at a turning point, and things will go better than you expect. I really do believe that. So hang in there.
All right.
Now, I don't see any other names, Michael. Do you?
I do not. And I think you know what that means.
Hey, another one bites the dust. Okay.
It has come to that kind of the evening. So, Well, you know,
it's been good.
It has been. It's been a fun discussion. And, you know, we've had a lively chat and appreciate that. You know, appreciate comments. Great points you guys made. And, you know, just can't thank you enough. And Dr. Hunter, as always, you know, a great conversationalist, always bringing, you know, just wise insight to the party. I hope that, you know, I can keep up with my banter and such, but just always a pleasure to have you.
Oh, Michael, you and I are a good team. You always bring new insights and stuff. I mean, we're just a mutual admiration company here, cheerleaders, so we're good.
Hey, that's the way it should be, and thank you very much, likewise.
And, no, I'm so appreciative of everybody in the chat and who joins us live, so that's awesome. And, you know, we're at the middle of January already, folks, mm-hmm. and we're talking about ETs and next week ancient aliens and mm-hmm. how that, you know, plays into metaphysics. So that'll be a fun one, and we'll see everybody next week. So there you go.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be another interesting discussion. They all are fascinating, but this one's going to be the best one ever.
Hey, everybody was asking in the chat, where's Wendy tonight? I'll bet she's off seeing a movie or something.
She's probably doing something fun or spending time with family or making some delicious food. But definitely shout out to our card keeper, Wendy. Hope you're doing well. And, you know, hope that we can catch up with all of you next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.